Mortis, man. You are back, man.
It's my pleasure, guys.
We just need to turn on the light and Adrian shows up.
That's how Adrian rolls.
Hey, Paul. How are you, man?
Doing good, Naveed. How are you today?
Good, man.
All right. Should we get started? Give a couple more minutes. What do you guys think?
Suraj, I think, what do you think, man?
I think we can get it started. Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. So, good morning, everybody. Thanks for putting a short stop in your Friday just to join us today on this edition of Power Lunch, and I'm very glad to be able to be presenting for you all. And for those who don't know me, my name is Adrian Corona. I'm a cloud specialist, and I'm part of the technical delivery team here for the U.S. South Central region. I've been 10 years with Microsoft. I focus mostly in infrastructure and cybersecurity. My background's been into Windows Server, System Center, all the good stuff, Hyper-V identity, all that kind of good stuff. But lately, I've been focusing more into specifically Azure, like everybody else. So anyway, today I'm going to go over very quickly about the service updates, and there's a couple of them in there. And the main topic for today, it's going to be the virtual network service endpoints. So I'm going to be trying to diving deeper into that in just a few minutes. And then I will allow some time for Q&A. So, but before, I'm going to talk a little bit about one of our new services that has been announced, which is the availability zones in Azure. This service is in preview right now, but for those who don't know, and we have it in preview only in two regions, US East 2 and West Europe. For those who don't know, an availability zone is a fault isolated location within a specific Azure region. Those regions are designed with independent power, cooling, and networking. And it's the goal of this availability zones is to protect or help you protect your applications from failures of an entire data center with and reducing the latency and having a better high availability. Again, maybe this is a very interesting topic for another session any other day, but it's a service that it's been being requested a lot from our customers, and it's been in a hot topic, and we are very, very happy that we are able to offer that to our customers, right? Let me just switch my second slide. And everybody can see my screen, is that correct?
Yes.
Yep, awesome. Yeah, yep. Yep.
Great. So the next, let's just deep dive into what a virtual network service endpoints are. So today, when you deploy both either storage or a database, you get a public endpoint. What does that mean is that you get something like your storage name that storage.azure.com, and it's reachable from everybody everywhere. I mean, obviously, we do have all the security inherited in the platform to prevent from your data to be compromised or having any kind of issues around that area. However, there from security purposes, there's been a big push from our customers who are asking, hey, I want to prevent this services from being reachable from the outside. Until today, that was not possible. Again, it was once you request a new service, whether it's a public service or a PaaS service, that service was sitting in a public interface, or it was the traffic was public. Now we're changing that. So, this graphic here shows you a little bit into how this works. So I'm just showing here storage, but right now the virtual network service endpoints preview service is available only for Azure Storage and Azure SQL Database. So I know we offer a plethora of other services, but this is the two most important ones that we want to tackle first. So with a virtual service endpoint, you can extend that virtual network private address and identity of that VNet to the Azure services over a direct connection. So an endpoint will allow you to secure those critical Azure services to only your virtual network, meaning that all the traffic from your VNet to the Azure service will always remain in the Azure backbone network. That's a very powerful feature here. So if you see this diagram real quick, this storage account can only be accessed through my virtual machine or through any virtual machine in my subnet or subnets within my virtual network. I can do that pair up, and all the traffic coming in will be serviced through that service endpoint, and it's going to be local to the Azure Fabric. This is also very powerful, and I'll get into a little bit more details here in a second, but some other extensions is if you have ExpressRoute or site-to-site VPNs, you can also make use of the storage. There's few considerations when you try to use SQL, but you can still use that or take leverage of that on premises, kind of like public peering that we would do today. Okay, so let me just I'll get into, and for everybody, I'll try to get into the questions by the end of the presentation, just to make this a little bit faster. And also Naveed and the team are helping out answering any questions you have.
Yes, we will address those, and you can take rest of them towards the end, man.
Excellent, dude. So thank you. So what are the top scenarios where this could be very helpful? So you can secure resources across multiple subnets. So and technically, is you can allow traffic, or you can, by fully removing public internet access to resources, you can allow that traffic only from your virtual network, as I've talked earlier. You can also inspect the traffic in coming in and out from that virtual network to those services. So this is very powerful. You can use, if you want to inspect it or filter the traffic destined to any of those services from a VNet, you can now deploy a NVA or a network virtual appliance within the virtual network and then apply service endpoints to those subnets where the network virtual appliance is deployed, and therefore
please check the number you have dialed.
Oh, somebody called. And then you have secure Azure service resources only to this subnet. So this will be very helpful if you wish to restrict Azure services access from your VNet only to specific Azure resources through that NVA filtering. And last is securing.
Please check the number you have dialed.
Oh, wow, somebody called again. There's various Azure services can be directly deployed into specific subnets in a virtual network. So you can pick and choose which Azure services will be enabled to any managed service subnet. And you can do that by setting up a service endpoint on that specific managed service subnet as well. So let's delve into that for a second. So I'm going to start with SQL. So very easy. When you have SQL Server, I should have some SQL Server over here. You deploy a SQL Server, you have a database, and you have your firewall settings. So by default, what I'm showing you here, there's two endpoints. One is my IP address. This is on premises. This is a VM running in my data center. It's running on top of VMware, I believe. And right now, if I try to log in, I can see my website, right? I can see that I have a small bakery products, and I can interact with this database. I can do muffins or whatever I want, right? And I can, it works just right. And this is writing from on-premises directly back to a database in Azure. This is the firewall rule that allows this specific IP address. But if you notice here, couple of specific things that are very interesting. You can add either a client IP, which is the IP address from which I am browsing this portal right now, or you can also allow access to Azure services. So what does that mean? Turning this to on means that every service within the Azure backbone by default will have access to my environment, to my database. Right now I turn it off, and if you notice here, I'm logging into this other machine which is running in Azure. It's a VM running in Azure, and if I go to that website, it tells me, no, you cannot. Although, even though I'm in Azure, that turning off this feature of allowing access to Azure services will prevent that from happening. And some customers want to do that because the fact that we don't specify which traffic is coming in. Allowing access to Azure services means that any type of traffic from any customer, for that matter, could potentially reach those services. So if I turn this on and I try again, I should be able now to do an IIS reset or try again. Should be able to get, there he is, there's my database now. So, but the thing is, at this point, my rule is allowing anybody, if you guys have any kind of virtual machines, you can reach up this public endpoint and start and authenticate against my database. So that's where virtual endpoints comes into the mix. So the first step I'm going to do is I'm going to turn off everything, every single endpoint back to, and right now my default rule is going to be deny for everybody but this local on-premises server, which I can't remove in a second. Now, turning on service endpoints, that's a virtual network setting. It works in conjunction with SQL and storage, but it really is a setting or a feature at the virtual networking layer. So when I go here into my virtual network, I can see that, and you're probably going to have this endpoints, service endpoints here in preview, which, by the way, and for Azure SQL, we only have West Central US, West US 2, and East US. For that's the only three regions where we have this available. So if you want to test that out, make sure you create your resources in any of those locations. So the next step is I'm going to enable my service endpoints. And if you can see here, I have just the two services. I'm going to go with SQL first. And you can pick and choose which subnets. I have two subnets. One is my default subnet where my front end is, and then I happen to have a back end subnet. But you can have any type of subnets in here. You can pick and choose or select them all. It really doesn't matter. So when you click add here, it takes a couple of seconds. But in reality, or under the covers, what's happening is we are adding rules, like kind of like UDR rules into your network. So this is the effective routes for you to troubleshoot and compare what's going on. You can see this is a VM, this is my front end VM, the one that I was showing you. And looking at my effective rules, I see that I have default rules, like anybody else have. Like you have my internet traffic, I have some Azure, my private class A, B, and C IP ranges in here. But now, after I enable service endpoints and I click refresh, I'm just hoping this comes up real quickly. Let's see if this is, it's right here. You're gonna have a new route. So it tells me it's one IP and 16 more. So technically what we're doing is we're adding a user-defined route to your network or subnet that applies and tells me that any type of traffic going to this IP addresses, which happen to be the SQL Server public endpoint IP addresses, that traffic should be managed or handled through my virtual network service endpoint. So what does that mean? It means, going back to here to my machine, this should let me still go and connect. So I'm going to do an IIS reset just to make sure everything is it's a new connection. All right. So when I do this, this should work. Oh, wow, what happened, right? it doesn't work. Why it's not? But look at the type of message. It's a little bit different from what I had earlier. First, it tells me your IP address is not available or reachable or not allowed in the firewall. But now it's telling me that my login is, or my client is not allowed, and something going on with my login. So why is this happening? Well, remember I told you it's a twofold process. The first process is enable this at the SQL or at the virtual network layer, which creates that UDR. But you still have to define on the SQL server, you still have to define which network are you allowing traffic from. So that's the second piece that I'm going to do right now. So I'm going to call this, say, default subnet rule, and you can choose your subscription. Then choose your VNet and just click OK. This is adding this under the covers is adding those rules for the firewall that says all the traffic coming from this 10.001 or 10.01x whatever subnet network is, just let it go through. So it tells me that it's ready now, and now if I go back to my machine, there he is. I have my SQL server. But now if I go back to my, what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove this endpoint and save this setting. If I go back to my on-premises and I do another IIS reset, just to speed up the process instead of waiting for the connection to be terminated. All right, come on. This should be preventing access from this machine. There he is. So now it tells me, no, you cannot log in with this IP address. So now I very quickly, very effectively, I have disabled access from anywhere in, but only the traffic that it's originating from this virtual network. Again, you can, and as you notice, I can have a combination of public IP addresses and also networks. So there are, I'm just gonna go back real quick to my presentation here. There are a couple things, a couple considerations. So yeah, preview is available only in these three regions so far. If you have a web app in a subnet that has service endpoints, that functionality is not there yet. And we know it's a challenge, and we're working on it, and we will be enabling that very, very soon. All the reference subnets must be hosted in the same geo level on the same geo region that hosts its SQL database. That's a big one too. There's also that each database can have up to 128 ACL entries for any given virtual network. That's another consideration point. If you have large networks, you just need to make sure you don't add, you're under this number. And needless to say, this is all new stuff. It's running on the ARM portal. It's not available for classic VMs. So another important or interesting thing that you need to consider. And also, IP address ranges do not apply to site-to-site VPN or ExpressRoute for Azure SQL. So that's a topic that we will discuss later on when I talked about storage. But right now we don't support that for either site-to-site or SQL. Site-to-site or ExpressRoute, it's not supported yet. It will be soon, but not yet. All right. So I'm going to move on now to another example, which is storage. Let me just switch back to my demo. So storage is very, very similar. So I have a storage account, and the storage has a little bit more flexibility. It has a little bit more regions available, which I will show you here in a second. But you have just a standard storage account. Again, it has to be deployed in those regions. There's nothing that I need to do or no specific commands that I need to enable. Like, I don't know if you're following this, but just like other networking features, like service tags or application groups, things like that, you need to request, like do a PowerShell request for access to the preview. For this, for storage, it is not. It will be enabled by default for everybody that creates a new storage account in this region. So when I click here, it's similar, but this is what's called a default route. So right now my default route is all networks. So again, same concept. Anybody in the world with my name, this account name and my key could potentially reach into this VM. So to prove that, I'm going to show you this commandlet here. It's going to give me my default action for my test VNet Tomorrow storage account. So when I run this, it tells me, yeah, your default route is allowed. So that means that if I come back here to my on-premises server and I open up Storage Explorer, I pre-configured a storage account key and everything, just gonna do it over and over. But when I open this up and I have my storage account, I have test VNet. I come here and expand, and I don't have any data. The only thing I have is just a container. So when I click containers, I can see my test container and everything is great. And this is my on-premises environment. Same thing, if I go into my Azure VM, I can do the same process. I can log in and try to reach, and there he is. Right, so I see block containers and I can enumerate this data easily, right? No problem, because I have that allow route. So now the next one is I'm going to the portal and I can choose my network. So let me, I already had this, I'm just gonna do that again just to show you. But when I click here, select networks, and I leave everything blank, what happens is my default rule is going to change to deny. So now if you notice here, everything is denied. So all my traffic is, it's now denied, and this should keep working unless I don't say, yeah. If I reopen Storage Explorer, I should get an error from both locations, right? Let me just try from here as well. And while I do this, is very important kind of to mention some of the other considerations is you have up to 100 virtual network rules that you can have for storage. And once the network rules are applied, they are enforced for all requests. And I'll get to that in a second because that's important. But as you can see in here, now I got this request is not authorized. So everybody is locked out from my storage account. Now I can pick and come back and selectively choose a few things. I can do an IP address range, so IP rules like you normally would do. It's in CIDR format or just any plain IP address. But also there's some exceptions in here. This is very important. So allow trusted Microsoft services to access this storage account. This trusted, it's similar to what I showed you with SQL. Like if I go back to SQL and I do this, allow access to Azure services, this is on and off. This list here includes compute. So VMs are part of it. In storage, the not. So if I go into my, this is the services that are part of those trusted networks. So there's no compute, it's not in here. So even though I allow this stuff, it may not, I still need to give access to my specific network. So same process, I'm just gonna go back to my network. Remember, it's a twofold process. First, select my storage, select my subnets, and once that's set, again, if I go back here to my routes, I should see now a couple of new routes popping up here in a second, hopefully. Yeah, still enabling. And by the way, this is, you got to be careful when you do this, because when, if this is a, obviously this is a demo environment, but if you do this in production, your connections will be terminated at the moment you make this change. So it's very recommended that you perform this over a maintenance window and not just during the day, because you may disrupt your traffic. But anyway, it's still updating. It's going to take a second or two. It takes a little bit longer. But what I should see is a very similar entry in here, just with more routes that are for the IP addresses for the storage environment. And going back to, well, there he is. So I have a couple more for the regions. And now if I come here to my environment, and they're succeeded. So going back to my network, I add same process. I choose my sub. Come on. Let's see. All right, so let me reopen this. Coming here, select networks. Now what's not popping up? Let me just try again one more time. I'm using the preview portal, so. But the point is very similar. When I choose this, so my service endpoint is enabled now. It says that it succeeded in both from my storage and SQL. I see my routes, and now coming back here, I should be able to select my virtual network. And once that virtual network is added, there he is. I'm going to be able to reach this endpoint. What I'm expecting to get from here is I should be able to retrieve my data from this endpoint, from my Azure endpoint. So I'm just going to try to do that, but not my on-premises. So on-premises should still be blocked, while Azure should be working. So let's test that out. Let's see if so there he is, test container, no problem, right? And going back here, storage accounts, test VNet. There he is. So now I'm blocked access. So again, just to summarize, and because I know we'll get kind of run on time, a few considerations, and I'll get into Q&A here in a second, but very important, virtual machine disk traffic is not affected by network rules. So what does that mean is your VMs, if you deploy a general purpose VM storage account, this is only for blob storage, right? So your disk traffic is not affected by any of these rules. And again, it same applies to just ARM, just no classic support. And you can extend this to any paired regions. I won't get into any of those details, but a paired region is and I can send some additional information on what it is. But it's predefined region pairs in Azure where you can extend this feature. So a few considerations. Again, the service endpoints will override any BGP or UDR routes from the address prefix. So you got to be careful when you're working with your express route. Remember, storage does support site-to-site and express route. SQL Server won't. But if you're doing storage over express route, you need to make sure or understand that your routes will be overridden. And there is no additional charge, so, and not right now, and for what I understand, it won't be charged, and even when it's publicly available, and there is no limit on the total number of service endpoints in a specific virtual network, so you can have as many as you need. There are, though, like there's limits on the number of SQL databases or the number of storage accounts, but from the networking perspective, there is no limits. Couple resources here, just the standard stuff, plus the service endpoints overview. And at this moment, I will probably just jump in a couple questions. Let's see, I have a list. And Naveed, is there any question that hasn't been answered yet?
I think there is. There is one question is right now in the window. In this scenario, ExpressRoute VNet service endpoint, do on-prem firewall need 1433 open? I think there is one. I'm not sure if you can see it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing that. So, yeah. First of all, the remember, SQL ExpressRoute, that doesn't work yet. It's only for storage. So, VNet to service endpoint to SQL, it still works over 1433. Like my example right now, I'm using, if I show you my configuration of my my config file, it's pointing to a endpoint right here, right? And you can see the password doesn't matter, right? It's pointing and it's making a standard SQL connection to 1433. So if you want to connect the developer machine to talk to SQL database, yes, it's 1433. Now, another question from Sparrow Donald. When this will be available in its US 2? We don't know that yet. They're working heavily, and I don't expect this to take long enough. But there's a lot of people asking for those regions, so it shouldn't be that long. Unfortunately, this call is, there's no NDA information, since it's a public information, so there is no NDA info that I can share today. But what I know is that they're working hard on getting that up to speed. Excellent. So what are the regions it's currently available? Yes, sure. Right now, the regions, they are different for both the storage and SQL. So storage is available in West Central US, West US 2, East US, West US, Australia East, and Australia Southeast. And for SQL is West Central US, West US 2, and East US. Awesome. Any other questions, guys? Feel free to unmute yourselves and grill me a little bit. All right, so, there's another one. Arsenaris is on-prem SQL Studio Management via PBTIP to Azure SQL Pass. That's still supported that works today. So your environment, you will be looking at your SQL firewall and adding your IP address in here, just like I have. So if I add my client IP and I open my Management Studio, which I believe I have, no, I don't have it in this machine. This is what you were looking for, right? You can't add like an internal IP address. You must add an IP address that is external to the service.
Yeah, I think Adrian, they were asking if they can add the private IP, like your machine IP on-prem.
Okay.
192. Something like that.
No, because we are only, in this case, we're only adding the virtual the VNets. It's for only Azure traffic. So your traffic, it's flowing from on premises, which we don't understand or we don't know. Like if I go back here to this diagram, we don't have. If you notice, we access this through a NAT IP, so we have no visibility back on your IP addresses or IP address space on premises. So the only thing that you can do here is by default using service endpoints is only for Azure traffic. Great.
That's great.
Connect via private only. We don't want to manage via public facing. Okay. We can take that offline, Sparrow. That'll be good if you want to just send me an email.
Reach us through email and we will be happy to help, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other questions?
So this is Madhvi. I just need a quick offline discussion on the SQL database connectivity to on-prem. I know there is a document that I'm looking at. I'm going to paste that in the chat here. Mm-hmm. Who do I need to reach out to?
You can ping me, and that we can work. I can work with you or put you in contact with whoever needs to help you.
Okay. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool, guys. Well, thanks again for your time today, and it was great. And I hope you guys, it was a good use of your time.
Yep.
Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Adrian. Thank you very much. Thank you.